Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast with your host, Team BHP.
Hello, and welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast. It's myself, Dave Thomas, all by myself today. And on this episode, we are at hunt camp. I'm going to sit down with you guys, have some coffee, some cider. It's about 6 a.m. It's very early. The guys are out hunting. And I'm just going to take a load off here, and we're going to chat about yesterday and what went down. So, one of the fun things about Michigan this time of year is the cider, the donuts, the pumpkins, all the great things. And it's not just hunting. It's obviously helps with family time and things like that. But it's a very exciting time of year here. So very cool. Anyway, so I shot deer last night. Yeah, it worked out. Thank you. Thank you very much. So as the story goes here, I guess we could go that route here. We got out a little late, maybe I want to say 4:30. It was due to rain, but it hadn't rained. So I packed up with the crossbow cause I thought, well, if it rains, I'm gonna have to get down and get into a blind. So I brought the micro suppressor from Excalibur, and this thing, I don't know if you guys have shot this bow, but man, I mean, what a powerhouse. And not to mention, if that bow does get wet, nothing can really break on it or even really rust. I mean, there's really nothing to it. It's not like a compound type bow where you have, you know, cams and metal pieces everywhere. So I wasn't really worried about it getting wet, or, you know, it's extremely durable. So I was very excited about that, but just compared to my compound, because I was thinking I was going to use my compound, but I was like, well, I don't really don't want to get caught in the rain with it, because if you don't dry it right, you could get rust in the little bolts and everything. So anyhow, so I get to my stand, and as I get to my stand, I already see texts from the guys that they're seeing deer. And I thought, man, that's early, you know, and this is a Friday night. So I'm like, wow, okay. I'm sitting there. And here comes the rain, right? It just starts, first it's a mist, and then it really starts to come in. And once it started pouring, I'd made the decision at 5:30 to get down and walk to the ground blind, which was not really very close, but I didn't really have much of a choice. I decided that since it was raining so hard, that it'd actually be best to spot and stalk my way to the ground blind, because I had a crossbow and I had my rangefinder. Basically, I like tied it right to my chest so I could, you know, quickly grab it if I needed range. That crossbow is deadly out to 60 yards, no problem. I mean, I'm talking hit a quarter at 60 yards. That's how dead on it is. Anyhow, I worked the edge, and it was really a beautiful edge. Like, I kept looking in there, and you could see through the pines and stuff, and it was really, like, exciting, like, just looking in there and just having that feeling of, like, exploration because I was moving around. So I got over to the ground blind, and I went in, And I got set up. It didn't take me long. I probably set up in 5 minutes. And somewhere between 4 and 6 minutes, I look up and there's deer on eating on the pile out there. And the pile, I say pile, I mean we put some mineral out, and then we put some corn out the other day. Not a lot, just sprinkled a lot around just to get them to hold. If we could get them in there to get them to stop, that way you could shoot. And did it work? Absolutely. So I look up and I see this big doe. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, this was very fast, but I already told myself, and I already passed on a doe earlier in the hunt 2 days ago. So I was like, well, if I see another one, I'll shoot it. And this one was a big one. So I made the decision. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to shoot this one. So I pulled up, you know, and it was the funny part was the doe was the one in front. Usually the does are ones in the back, you know. Generally don't see them much. So it was interesting to me that she was like right in front. And they snuck in so quietly. I mean, didn't even hear, you know, anything. Didn't hear anything. And it's probably because it was wet out, you know. They're able to just walk in. But anyhow, so she's right there. I have the bow in my hand. And I'm going to like free shoot it. And a couple things are happening at this moment. Like I'm trying to figure out how to film it because I don't have any cameras out. So I took my GoPro and I got this clip thing, which is actually an amazing tool if you've never seen these clips. They're like a chip clip, but they have a screw on the top of it that you can screw in like a camera screw. So recommend highly getting those if you have not used them with GoPros because they can clip anywhere quickly and you can move them around, which makes them very versatile in the field. You can clip to a backpack, clip them to you. You can clip them to a hat. You can clip it to your gun or bow, whatever. And that's what happened here. So I clipped it to my scope. And you'll see in the recording if you guys are able to watch the episode coming up. And I take one last look. I just want to make sure it's a doe and not like a spike or something, right? So I pull over. I see my Vanguard shooting stick to my left. So I grab it, the VO. And that thing's amazing. If you guys haven't used these VO sticks, you really need to check them out from Vanguard. They are absolutely incredible. So I grab the stick. I put my stock on the stick. And I'm getting everything lined up. And her head's down at this point. So I'm still waiting for her to pick her head up so I can just double check to make sure it's the big doe. And also make sure it's not a spike or a button buck or something. So she picks her up, but then she looks right at me. And I'm like, are you serious right now? She's looking at me now. And I'm like, great. You know, she's going to totally get me. They always get me, you know. They always get me. You know, I'm only 18 yards from her in a ground blind. So my face is like, I don't know, 4 inches from looking down the scope. Like my face is to the left of the scope. So I'm like trying to move my face to the right to get behind the scope. Because she's staring at me now. So I decide consciously that, you know, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to get my face lined up quick and just fire. Because I know she ain't going to be able to outrun this crossbow ducking. So that's what I do. I swing over my face real quick into the scope. And I look and she starts to put her head down. That's when I fire. But because I was already now reactionary, right? Like thinking I had to kind of rush. But either way, put it behind the shoulder. Arrow went clean through her using a dead ringer broadhead. And opened up. It was mechanical. Opened up, went down, hit a tree, went right through her. Luminoc can show that in the trace. You know, it's pretty sweet. She runs off. I can see blood pouring. She does this, like, turn just around the bend. She does this turn, and I see her go into the ravine, which I'm like, great, right? She just totally went down to the ravine. But I mentally, and this is important for any new archers out there, new hunters that don't do this a lot, you need to pay attention to where they go. It's really important because that's going to tell you, you can go find blood in that spot now, right? You don't have to like start from scratch and try to find your way through weave. Because a lot of times that when you shoot a deer at the front end of a scene where the impact shot is, there's not always a lot of blood. Sometimes there is. I'm not saying there's not, but sometimes there's not. And deer have the capability to make a long jump, like boom, you know, they can jump quick and like literally leap 10 feet, you know, and that so... A lot of times, you know, it's hard to pick up on the blood trail right away. So anyway, my point is, so I sat there and I re-hunted because I started hunting again because I have two tags and I was going to go for a big buck. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to focus on a buck. I got my doe and I got my meat for the year. Now let's look at shooting a buck, right? And So I'm sitting there, and then the other deer that this deer was with came back and started feeding again. And so obviously I wasn't shooting that deer, and it walked off. And then I heard a grunt at one time, so I got really excited. I thought, man, maybe this big buck that they call Ghost is coming out here. You know, I don't know, because there's a lot of decent bucks in this area. So anyhow, turned out to be another doe. Walked in and started eating. And I could have shot her, obviously. I was not going to do that, though. So I waited. It got darker. And then finally, I'm like, all right, well, it's dark enough. I can't see through my scope. I'm going to go. So I pack up, and I go out there. I'm by myself at this point. And, you know, I told the guys to come get me when they're ready, but I knew it was going to take a while. So I decided just to go find the deer before it got pitch black, right? So I couldn't find the blood trail right away. And so I started seeing blood about 10 feet away. I followed that around that bend I told you guys. And then I noticed like this tree branch that was like hung over, and I could see through that. And I saw the deer turn it up there into the woods. And this is all still in the field, you know? And so I went over around this bend to that point, looking through the peninsula of the woods. And I saw the blind. So I knew that was where it was. And sure enough, I found the blood right in that area. And I went down the embankment, started going down, and I got probably 15 yards, and she was there. She didn't go far, and I figured she didn't go far, because from that hit, from what I saw, she was not going to make it very long. It ended up being a double lung shot, so I was really excited. But I was really proud of myself, because then, at that moment, I took this deer, and I gutted it. I got it all ready. Did everything, and I even drug it out. I got this harness, new harness that has like a drag on the back. So I hooked it up to the deer and hooked it up to the bottom of my harness, and it allowed me to like actually walk this deer out to, you know, up the ridge back to where a truck could come get her later, and I didn't have to like drag her. So I drug her all the way up this ridge by myself. So, and that's not normal. Normally for us, you know, we hunt in pairs, and, you know, so we always like gut them together or do all this stuff together generally. But in this moment, I just wanted to save time. I didn't want to be out there all night waiting for everybody. But I think I really just wanted to see if I could do it, you know, like by myself, just with no help. And I've done it before. Don't get me wrong. It's been years since I've actually gutted deer all on my own. You know, I don't need assistance or anything like that. I'm just saying like where no one's around me and I'm just doing it, right? So I set up the camera, and I just start gutting this deer. I mean, it was pitch black. I put the flashlight between my lips, and I just start cutting. I didn't have a headlamp because I left it in the hanger, so it didn't work out for me. But it was exciting, and then the guys finally got there, and they couldn't believe I already had it gutted it up on the thing. It was funny. I was, like, ready to rock as soon as I got there. But I kind of went balls to the wall, right? I just went straight for it. I'm like, let's do this, right? It's my deer. It's my responsibility. Let's get it. I had the deer. Once they got there, they pulled up. The deer was gutted, tagged, and ready to go, like clean and everything. I drug it through the grass, not really on purpose, but it was wet, but there was a lot of blood everywhere. And I knew we were going to get some photos later, and a lot of people just don't like to see that much blood. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy. So that dead ringer is unbelievable. If you guys get a chance to see the gashes in some of our posts, you should definitely check it out. That was out of a crossbow. I mean, these crossbows, guys, wow, man, so much power, straight power. A little coffee there, keep me awake, but they're so powerful. It's a great tool. It's not gonna be the only tool in my arsenal. I still prefer my bow, my compound in most cases, but in a situation like this, it was perfect weapon. You know, it was really a perfect weapon. And Excalibur, hats off to them. This bow, this suppressor is tiny. It's very easy to get in and out of a blind, easy to shoot in a blind. My son shot his doe with this same bow. Unbelievable, just unbelievable, really. And also, I want to say thanks to Dead Down Wind. Dead Down Wind, I have not gotten blown at once this whole weekend. I used it a lot, and I used their Dead Earth one, and it smells perfect because it really puts you into the setting, and that really helped me, I think. I do think it helped me a lot, and I took Dead Down Wind and put it all over me. I mean, really, I didn't actually use the shampoo because I actually forgot to bring it. It sounds stupid, but But I sprayed that stuff all over me, and I wiped my hair down with it and everything. I mean, and then I sprayed my clothes down with it a couple times, my backpack and all that stuff. So yeah, let's talk about the gear. I mean, Boner Planet does a lot of gear stuff. You know, we test a lot of bows and products. Sometimes there's products, though, that we really stick by. And I want to say that not just because they sponsor us. Usually we prefer to go to them to get a sponsorship because we like the products. So, for instance, Vanguard, we've been real big fans of Vanguard now for years with tripods, with their binos, with their now their packs, which we've loved the packs. I mean, we've been really testing these things. And that's one of the things we like to do. We do like to test things hardcore and see if they rip, see if they tear. And then we like to go back to companies with ideas. You know, hey, get rid of this buckle, or, you know, you need to add a zipper here. We need to have a pocket for keys or a pocket for this as a bow hunter. Those are the kinds of things. And also a dead downwind. I mean, you're talking, you know, what works, what doesn't. This earth stuff, man, hands down. I mean, I'm on the ground level with these deer. My wind was actually blown right towards them. I will say the Ameristep blind helped, right? It definitely takes some scent out, but I did have enough windows open to where it could easily, you know, they could easily got me. And, you know, with bows, we switch a lot of bows. I'm not, you know, I don't only shoot Excalibur. I'll shoot other brands, and I also do other, you know, other stuff with bows too. So it's not like I'm only shooting Bowtech stuff. We do shoot other things, but I do like the Bowtech stuff. That's the thing. It's hard to change when you like something. So for the compound this year, I've started out with the Rain 6. I've been just dominating with that bow, literally dominating. It's just hard to put it down when I'm hitting 40, 50 yard shots right in the bullseye. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just a very accurate bow. Great feeling bow. And for arrows, I'm using Black Eagle arrows. We like those a lot. Lighted Nox. I've been using Luminoc. Other guys are using different things. Some are using Nocturnal. It's kind of spread out. But most guys like the Nocturnal and the Luminoc. Those are the two they like the most. Clean Shot does have a great one on the Knockout when we've used it for years. But they are... We never really necessarily like the part of it where they have the practice thing, because to us, we don't really practice. You know, I don't, when I practice, I want the light to go on. So I get that it wastes the battery, but I don't care. So, but recently, Clean Shot looks like they're just launching one without the collar, which I think is a big deal. There's no point in having the collar on there. It can rattle or shake or whatever. Pretty cool stuff. And I think they have another one come out, changes colors, does some cool stuff too. So that's kind of neat. But on the Lighted Nox side, I mean, to me, there's only three major brands, Nocturnal, Luminoc, and Clean Shot. Luminoc being the oldest of them. And I would say probably I would fight for saying the brightest. I'd have to see it against the Nocturnal, but I know it's extremely bright. They have a big battery in there, and it looks really well. But, you know, most people would argue the contact. So, you know, Luminoc has to make contact, and Nocturnal does not. It just needs to push the button. So, which I think they call bobber style. Coffee break here. Anyhow, switching gears, talk broadhead. So this year my son shot his deer with a Ramcat, crushed it, didn't go far at all, maybe 60 yards straight out, you know, run, blood everywhere. This past one I just used a dead ringer. So I'll be honest, guys, I'm not very partial to any broadhead. In fact, this is the best time for me, because I like to actually test broadheads on animals before I really, you know, and we're trying to do a broadhead testing coming up with some wood and different stuff, but really it always comes down to hitting a real animal with them. And I'm very happy from what I just saw with the dead ringer, and I'm very happy what I saw at Ramcat over the years, for sure. I mean, Ramcat's never failed us once yet. So both are great brands, great people that work at both those companies. And it's a hard choice. If you're an archer and you're going out, you know, it's a hard choice. We're still testing the Ramcat Savage, the expandable. We got a couple guys using those this year. So we will let you know soon, you know, what happens when they hit a deer. That's what we're looking for. And now we just had a guy kill a doe I'm trying to think what the name is. It's a dead ringer, but it used to be the Trauma, but they changed it. So I can't remember the new name. But whatever it is, it's huge. It's like 2.5 inch cut. So they just did that with that. And, blood everywhere, I guess, didn't go far. So, I mean, it's good to know, right? These are the things we're trying to understand with the broadheads. It's just, we want to give you guys the best we can in our knowledge with these things. So it's not like we're trying to just stretch these. I want to make sure they work and have a good example when we use them. Now, don't get me wrong here. Everybody knows if you hit a shoulder, that might not be the case, right? You got to stay away from the shoulder plate. There's no way around it. We had a guy this year kill a deer with a Rage chisel tip, crushed it, huge gash. Another guy hit another doe in the knuckle with the Rage two blade and didn't even get in 2 inches. So you can't hit that shoulder blade. You have to stay away from the shoulder blade. It's critical, critical. So as far as other gear though, like releases, True Ball, we've used the Assassin for years. I mean, it is a steady, sturdy release. This year, I've been playing with the new Valor. I like it a lot. It does not have the assist spring, so when you like open the caliper, it doesn't automatically come back. The trigger, it stays open, so you got to shut it manually, which I actually like that because I like to feel it click and know I'm on. So that's something new they're doing, and it's like almost like a half jaw. I don't know if they call it that, or I'd have to look at the wording, but basically one side doesn't move, it's more stationary. So some cool stuff coming out of True Ball Camp, some new things. It's exciting, I think, to see the new products. I like when companies get a little crazy and do some different things, you know. I think it's exciting. And not boring, which is what I like. I like to see something that's just different, you know. And I see Bear just launched some of their bows the other day. I didn't get a chance to really look at them because I've been in hunt camp. But I'm excited to get some knowledge on them and hopefully get them a Tesla. I'll show you guys. I also saw Mission launch the Sub 1, I think they call it a crossbow. So we were working with them trying to get one to show you guys on Tesla Lab. So I'm still working on that. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I mean, we're still going to try because I think it'd be great to showcase that new thing. I bet you it's awesome, you know. Looks like it's got a lot of power to it too. So that's exciting. Sorry for all the background noise here. I'm actually in the hangar that we stay in. It's like an actual plane hangar for a hunt camp, and it's attached to the building so big that the backside of the building's actually a business, and I can hear the guys are back there moving things around, getting their stuff ready for the day, I'm sure. But, so some fun things yesterday. We went to Jamie's dad's house, and we shot a whole bunch of guns. That was a blast. Got to shoot the new 450 I got. That was a lot of fun. It's definitely got some kick without the muzzle brake and without the ported barrel. So I got some work to do there. I got to get that done, but I'm probably going to wait till after this year because obviously the gun's sighted in. 100 yards, no problem. I'm sure it can go even way further. I was told like around 300 that gun, but the bullets are awesome for it. They're like a 45, I guess, solid wall. And they're awesome. And then what else we shoot? We had my AR out there, which was a blast. Got to shoot that. Popping balloons, that was a lot of fun. We also got to ride around a couple Polaris ATVs. That was great. The 570 Sportsman and the 900 Sportsman, which was absolutely ridiculous. Jamie's brother Mark basically did a wheelie with it, which is so powerful. I'm like, I can't believe it. But he even said that you can actually flip the thing. It's so much power. So, I mean, there's a lot of torque in that 900, but definitely too much for a hunter, and not necessary for a hunter unless you're going through some thick mud. 570 was sick. Drove that thing across the fields. He's got like big open fields there, and it was nice to just open it up across a couple fields. A lot of fun. You know, gotta be careful with those things, same thing, but you know, still a lot of fun. And I love four-wheelers. For me, I mean, I don't go fast on them generally. That's an exception yesterday, but generally I just like to cruise on them. But my thing is, they go through anything, man. I mean, you can take those right through the middle of a woods, really, if you can, as long as you have a little bit of opening with the trees. But if you need to recover a deer and you don't want to physically do all that work, I recommend it highly to consider getting a four-wheeler, even the old one, because I'm telling you, you know, as we get older, it's not worth hurting your back over dragging a deer out or having a heart attack. So, you know, I work hard every day, and I'm going to get the things that are going to help me succeed, and four-wheeler to me is one of them, or UTV or something that can at least help you drag or pull a deer out of a wooded area. Sometimes your truck can get in, that's fine too, you know, but if you don't have a truck or if you, you know. So definitely something to pay attention to and really consider. And the guns were fun, man. Brian shot his muzzleloader. He has a Savage 220, 20-gauge. Shot that, and that was a lot of fun. He also bought an old, like, 1900 22 or so. I don't know if it's 1900, but I don't know the real year. But it's something old, 22, and that was pretty funny. But it was fun. Just, you know, we learned that Jamie's a crack shot. That guy can hit anything. Any distance with a single shot. I gave him one 22 shell and that old gun, and I said, there's one balloon left at 100 yards. Hit that balloon, you're not buying lunch. And he hit the balloon. Can you believe that? He hit the balloon. I'm like, I can't believe this guy just hit this balloon. One shot. I put all these bullets in front of him. I go, here's 10 shots for fun, and he hits that in the first shot. Absolutely mind-blowing. I guess let me take a moment to thank our sponsor, Vanguard Outdoors. Vanguard, maker of tripods, backpacks, the new Pioneer packs. They also make spotting scopes and binoculars. So check them out, vanguardworld.us. Vanguard, just really good people. And they're actually real local to us in Michigan. They're right around the corner, actually. I stopped in there recently to talk about 2018 to sponsor the podcast. So it was really exciting to sit down with them. And it's fun because they're doing their own media stuff for a lot of photography side. And we tend to help a little bit on their outdoor side. But it's really cool to see that because you actually, and I am a big, big fan of photography. Like, that's one of the things I love to do. When I'm not even doing hunting stuff, I'm taking pictures of tulips and dumb things, right, in my house. And I actually frame them and picture them, and we actually keep them in around the house. It's really cool. But anyway, they have had some awesome people on their Facebook. If you haven't been on their Facebook page, you need to check it out. They got movie photographers that have been on there interviewing live with them. And it is so cool because these guys are actually on movie sets taking photography while they're shooting movies. And it's so sweet, the pictures they get. Just absolutely incredible. A lot of cool movies that you've all seen. And so it's really neat to see those photographers and talk to them. And when you see them, they have like six cameras on them, you know, like just loaded with these like strap holders that hold different models of cameras so they can like swap in and out. It's so cool. You can check down Vanguard Outdoors, Vanguard's website, and you can get through to their Facebook and Instagram and all that. I'm sure they have it all on there. But very cool. If you're ever interested in learning about anything like that, Vanguard's the one. I mean, that's why I think they're such a great fit for us to work with. It's just, I love photography. I mean, to me, photography would be what I do if I stopped doing BHP at some point. I would just do photography. I enjoy it so much. I like editing the pictures. I like taking them. I like trying different cameras and lenses. I think it's a lot of fun. People have their hobbies, and to me, like, photography and videography are my hobby. Videography is a lot harder. It takes a lot of time and effort to get the shots that you really need. And sometimes those shots literally take you 3 seconds to actually capture, and you set up for a half hour to get it. And that's what's kind of depressing about it. So I think it's a little bit harder for me to swallow that pill and do a lot more videography. We do some. I'm not saying we don't do any, but it's just a little tricky considering doing that when it takes so much time and effort to do it. And I don't really see the benefit of it and the rewards, so I've never really been a huge fan of cinematic video capture for our hunting shows and stuff like that because it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't see... You're not going to compete with Heartland Hunter, right? I mean, unless you're going to spend a lot of money, so why even attempt to compete? It's not worth it. You're better off just doing a whole different thing, you know? And that's what we've done with the amateur-style video. We didn't ever want it to be, like, major videography, cinematography. I mean, that's just... It's expensive, and frankly, I don't see the benefit of it or the end game, you know, because you're just going to have to keep making those. It's just a never-ending workload of very low paying companies that are going to give you. It doesn't make much sense to me, but it's fun. I get it. It's creative. People like to be creative, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. Entering film fest and things like that. Hey, coffee break. Anyway, I'm taking up too much of you guys' time. So thanks for tuning into this edition of the podcast. I apologize, just me by myself, but the guys are actually out hunting and it's raining. And again, it's like probably 6 a.m. right now. And, they're out there getting it, you know, they're trying. So I took a break from today's morning hunt because I shot that doe last night. And I'll be back at it tonight, though, in the back stand. I'm going to go back there and try to find this big buck. I just got to come up with a couple. This is where it gets fun, though, guys. When you're videotaping your hunts, this is where it gets a little fun because you start to come up with fun ways to mount cameras that you can do this without, you know, getting tagged by the deer and also still getting your shot off. So I have some ideas in my head right now how I can do this for tonight to try to sneak in and find a big buck. So the couple things are gonna help me with this: Vanguard with their shooting sticks and everything being small, I can get in and out. Dead downwind descent to keep my wind from getting it from dead downwind from keeping the deer from smelling me getting through there, and I'm gonna have to creep in there. And the crossbow, I probably have to go again with that. Just because where I'm going, no man returned. No men return from where I'm going. All right, guys, thank you so much. Hey, we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.